Now, I need to go back over sacred names again, because some people never get the point, and they have no basis of understanding what's in the New Testament or what's in the Old Testament the way that they should. And they become zealots, exactly like the Pharisees and Sadducees, that they have their own tradition that they add to the Word of God. I want to bring your attention to something concerning the language of the New Testament in the days of Jesus Christ, that for 300 years, the language of the whole Middle East and the eastern part of the Mediterranean Sea for 300 years. That's longer than America has been a nation, right? The language was Greek. Everybody spoke Greek. Everybody wrote Greek. The language is called Koine Greek, which means the common language of the whole area, Koine Greek. Now, there were a lot of Jews in Alexandria. They translated the Old Testament into what is called the Greek Septuagint version of the Old Testament. Now then, I have gone through especially the law. Now, some other places are not as accurate as the law, but it's for 300 years. Let me read some things here concerning the Septuagint, because it had a definite, profound impact upon the New Testament church, because the Septuagint was also used in all the synagogues. Now, how does this relate with sacred names? Well, I think you're going to be very surprised in just a minute when I tell you the very first place that the name Jesus, which is the name for Jesus, was used. And it was hundreds of years before Jesus was born, not having to do with a prophecy. The Septuagint version having been current for about 3 centuries before the time when the books of the New Testament were written, it is not surprising that the apostles should have used it more often than not in making citations from the Old Testament. Of course. And you go back and you check those quotations, and those quotations are correct. Did the apostles have the discernment to know where the errors were in the Septuagint and to preach what was right? Yes. But nowhere, and I'm going to tell you again, nowhere do you find in the New Testament that Aramaic or Hebrew or the names of God in those languages were in the New Testament. Why weren't they there? Because God didn't want them there. As I pointed out last time, God created all the languages, and the gospel goes to the whole world. And that's why God used Greek, because it was the basis for all the European languages. And guess where the children of Israel have migrated to? Europe, Britain. And it goes to Israel first, and then to the Gentiles. They used it as an honestly made version in pretty general use at the time they wrote. So it was there. They did not on every occasion give the authoritative translation of each passage, but they used what was already familiar to the ears of converted Hellenists, and the Hellenists as Jews. When it was sufficiently accurate to the subject matter in hand. In fact, they used it as did their contemporary Jewish writer, Philo, and Josephus, but not, however, with blind implications that everything was necessarily accurate. There's quite a bit more here. Where is the first use of the word Jesus? Now, you need to understand in Greek that is the name for Jesus. It is spelled. Now, they also tell you this, that there's no J in the Greek. Likewise, there's no J in Hebrew. It's a combination of two letters concerning J in the early English versions of the Bible translated from the New Testament. There was no J. The letter I was used. Jesus' name in the Greek is I long E, which is pronounced J. Yay. Yay, Suth. Now, how close is that to Jesus? No place in the New Testament is Yahshua used. No place. I got a nice paper from Mike Flake that he wrote up concerning sacred names. That's the same as the works of law that the Jews tried to bring into the church. They come in and say, now you bring the name to Hebrew. Why didn't God do that? Don't you think God had the power to do so? Why didn't he do it? Did all the apostles know Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek? Yes. But they wrote in Greek, that's what God wanted. That's why you find in the first chapter of Revelation that Jesus says, I'm the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Alpha, first letter of the Greek alphabet, and Omega, the last letter of the Greek alphabet, substantiates that God wanted it written in Greek. The name Christ is Christos, C-H-R-I-S-T-O-S, Christos. How's that for Christ? See, in Greek, all masculine words in the nominative case end in O-S. So, in different senses, it's Christo, Christou, Christon. But it all is Christos as the main word. Now let's look at another word, Kurios, which is Lord, which is K-U-R-I-O-S, Kurios, Lord. Guess what? Those are the words in the Septuagint. Now, where is the first time that Jesus is mentioned in the Septuagint? In the book of Joshua. And what is the name of the book of Joshua? Jesus. Huh. Now, we also find that in Hebrews, the fourth chapter, where it talks about Joshua, and it's the same word used for Jesus, Jesus. Let's come to Matthew, the first chapter, and let's read it again. Now, remember that they spoke Greek. Aramaic was a second language, and Latin was a third language. Now, it's the same thing with the word Joseph. Yosef, Matthew 1, verse 19. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not willing to expose her publicly, was planning to divorce her secretly. That's because she had been impregnated with the Holy Spirit. And that would have been grounds for divorce. But God had to intervene with a message from an angel to tell him what the circumstances really were. But as he ponders these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, because that which has been begotten in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, Jesus, not Yeshua. Now, if you only know the Hebrew, and it's in Hebrew, Yeshua would be fine for that. But we're dealing many, many languages, and as I pointed last time, what was the situation in Acts, the second chapter? God inspired them, all who were there, to hear the message of God in their own language, which in the Greek is dialectos, down to their own dialect. And then it lists all the countries that the Jews had been born in and had as the native language where they were living. If God wanted there to be sacred names in the New Testament interspersed in the Greek, he would have inspired it on that day. But he did not do it. So these who come with so-called sacred names do not realize that God intends the name of God and Jesus and Christ to be whatever the language is, because God made all languages at the Tower of Babel. And if God made the languages, then the name of God in any of the languages is correct. But what they want to do, they start with names, and then they come to prayer shawls. I don't know if you've seen Jonathan Cahn. When he does a prayer, he puts a rug on his head. But 1 Corinthians 11 says, it's a shame for a man to cover his head in prayer. But a lot of people think, oh, Jonathan Cahn, he's nearly one of the two witnesses. He doesn't understand the New Testament. He's a huckster. He uses the name of Yahshua so that he can have an audience with the English and impress them with his great mental ability and books that he writes. But he's not a prophet. He is a Jewish rabbi, and he doesn't keep the 14th Passover. So then we have to be on guard against that. Now let's go on. Verse 22. Now it came to pass that it might be fulfilled that was written by the Lord, Kurios, through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin, not a virgin or young woman, but the virgin, a particular one special virgin. Don't you think God had part in her conception and birth? And education, and the fact that Joseph was a righteous man to be the stepfather of Jesus, huh? Of course. Now let's read on. The virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted. Now, Emmanuel is an Aramaic term which means God with us. Now take note right here. Every place in the New Testament that an Aramaic word is used toward God, they always interpret it. Just like with Peter. Jesus said he was Petra himself. And Peter was Petros, a little rock. And Jesus didn't build his church on a little rock. He built it on himself, Petra, God with us. And when Joseph was awakened from his sleep, he did as the angel had commanded and took his wife to be wed, but he did not have sexual relations with her until after she had given birth to her son, the firstborn, and he called his name Jesus. Jesus. Now, all sacred name intrusion into the New Testament goes against what God has inspired. Now we find in Luke, the first chapter, the same thing, that he called his name Jesus. Let's take the case of Paul. Was he a Pharisee of Pharisees above all Pharisees and more zealous than any yet? Yes. And as Tom Fannin just brought in his message about a different gospel, about a different Jesus, why did God call him who was so steeped in Judaism? Number one, to make sure Judaism didn't creep into the church. And that the laws of Judaism, especially on separation of the different races, would not take hold in the church. So you need to get the book, the Apostle Paul's teachings on God's laws, and you will find, or if you've got a faithful version, you go back and you read and you study Appendix Z about works of law, because that's exactly what sacred nameism is in the New Testament, a work of law to satisfy those who want to impress you and to bring you to themselves so they can glorify in you, as Paul wrote in Galatians. Today, we're confronted with many things we need to be on guard against and stand against and so forth. Preserving the Word of God in the end times. Now, that's very important for us to understand. Now, I think it's quite sufficient to see what an interruption of the internet does. I want to read you what they're doing. YouTube is now completely taken over by the medical establishment. Let me read this report to you, because this has to do with what we need to preserve. How many of you out there have books on foods to cure, natural methods, all of those things? Well, listen up. A few days ago, YouTube amended their COVID-19 misinformation policy, changing it so it applies to all things medical. And of course, the doctors don't know anything about natural methods. The original policy was put in place in the early days of the pandemic, May 2020, and outlawed the content of video sharing platform that contradicted the World Health Organization or local health authorities concerning the pandemic. Now then, misinformation is this way. Latest revamp is the biggest so far. The new medical misinformation policy, no longer just COVID-19 misinformation, now it addresses cancer treatment, abortions, and non-COVID vaccines. Now think about this in relationship to the truth. Think how easy it was that this message with Tom Fannin, boom, was cut off. All they have to do is flick a switch and you lose everything that you have. That's why, if you have a computer, have separate things and the information stored on thumb drives and wrap it in lead, because no one can erase it. So here's what they're getting rid of. Videos promoting alternative medicine and dietary tips that claim to prevent disease, gone. Now, all of these websites that are on YouTube now have to get their own independent website if they want to continue. Now, that will last for a while, but they can cut them all off as quickly as they want to. Number two, sharing alternative or natural treatments. Gone. Number three, videos claiming establishment teachings, i.e. radiation chemotherapists, do more harm than good, even from people who have had those treatments. Gone. So wherever you can get any books on natural treatment, you get them. And keep a lot of information that you have in book form. Number four, videos claiming X disease does not exist. Gone. X means any disease that they want to get rid of there. In short, YouTube will no longer allow any medical content at all that isn't simply parroting government policy or promoting big pharma products. Think about that in relationship to Christianity and in relationship to what the world religion is going to do. Does it not end up in beheading true Christians? Yes. Well, doesn't that tell you that they're going to come in and try and censor and try and take away? Yes, indeed. Tellingly, it's all about approval from authority, not accuracy of information. In fact, nowhere in the entire document is there any kind of differentiation made between accuracy and authority. Now, how many people are so miseducated and so misinformed that they will willingly accept this? 90% of people? Probably, maybe more. In YouTube world, something is information if it's confirmed by the government. And it is misinformation if it is not. Reality is subject to the approval of the state, and the state is always right. Let's put this in terms of Christianity. Everything in Christianity will be subject to the Vatican and the New World Religion, and anything that does not align with it will be outlawed. Let's come to Revelation 17 about the coming world religion, and it's coming, and all about it. This is another description of the world government and religious system in Revelation 13. Revelation 17. And one of the seven angels who had the seven vials came and spoke with me, saying to me, "Come here, I will show you the judgment of the great whore who sits upon many waters." In verse 15, that says, people, languages, and nations. "With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication." Everything coming out of the Vatican today is supported or supporting homosexuality, homosexual marriages. Now, they haven't gotten to the complete acceptance of it all, but here's an article showing that there is a high-level Catholic who is a raging homosexual who is in charge of doctrine and working with Pope Francis. Here is a picture of him right here. And they intend on agreeing that homosexuality, male and female, and whatever other sexual orientation you have will be acceptable. Now, how could they do that? I have a book that I got a number of years ago. Quite an interesting book. Now, if anyone believes that the Catholic Church ever had anything to do with the Church of God, you've got to reassess your thoughts because it never has. Here's a book written by Friedrich Martel, a Frenchman, who is a homosexual, who was invited to the Vatican to do a write-up for all of the top-level cardinals and everybody at the Vatican, and it is called In the Closet of the Vatican, in which he identifies that more than 80% of the high-level cardinals, bishops, and even popes are homosexual. So that is coming, and we will see it. And with that will come, sooner or later, anything that brings out how evil that whole system is. Jeremiah 23. Let's read something that applies for today, because this is our task for today. Jeremiah 23 and verse 20. And the anger of the Lord shall not return, that is, return to God, until he has executed, until he has performed the purpose of his heart. Notice the next sentence. In the latter days, you shall understand it perfectly. Now, the truth of the Word of God is at stake. All of these assaults coming into the church are part of what Satan wants to do. Verse 21, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, in other words, the word of God is for everyone, but it has to be spoken correctly and directly so everyone understands it. Then they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. That's the whole purpose of the Word of God, to tell you what is right, to tell you what is sin, to tell you how to have contact with God, to tell you what God thinks, to tell you how to get rid of your evil thoughts and to repent and overcome. So he says here, verse 23, am I a God who is near, says the Lord? And not a God far off? Remember, God is as close to you as your knees to the floor. Any problem come up, you get on your knees and pray to God. He will hear you. He will answer you. All right? Verse 24, can anyone hide himself in secret places so that I do not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, that is everything, with his power? Yes, I have heard what the prophets said who prophesy in my name, saying, I have dreamed. And you hear that all the time. Oh, the Lord spoke to me. He did not. That's another Jesus. That's another Lord. That's another spirit. And that's the spirit of Satan, the devil. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies and are prophets of the deceit of their own heart? See? Down deep inside, every human being is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, even if they appear nice on the surface. The only ones who are not that way are the ones who have some understanding with the Word of God. And for us then who are called and chosen and faithful and have the Spirit of God, we need to use the Spirit of God to faithfully preserve the Word of God. They scheme to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell each one his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. Now notice verse 24. This is a charge to every one who is an elder or servant or minister, or deacon, or member in the Church of God. Right here. Verse 28. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word. Do we have the word of God today? Do we have it complete today? Do we have it in the way that God wants it? Yes, indeed. Let him speak my word faithfully, and also then preserve it faithfully. Now that's what we've done in the Christian Biblical Church of God. We have done what no other Church of God in this time has done, is to have the Bible translated into English faithfully, Old Testament by Michael Heiss, New Testament by me, to bring the truth of the Word of God. Now, if you want to know how true it is, you write this down and you call in and ask for it. It is a comparison of 27 different New Testament translations compared to the faithful version. And you will see, as this brings out, that in the new NIV, 35,000 words are missing. And many of them mistranslated. Let me tell you what we have done. And as I've said many times over, all the tithes and offerings that come in are used to preach the gospel, to serve the brethren, to publish the truth. And you need to have the preservation in books. Now, I know the internet is convenient. And I know you can do a lot of things with the digital version of the Bible. I know that that is true. But there's another aspect of it, which is this. All of those things could be erased. But you cannot erase what's in a book unless you come and physically take it and burn it, right? Now, I'm not going to go through all how it came about in translating the New Testament, but I never intended to translate the New Testament until I got the New Revised Standard Version of the gender-neuter New Testament. That was back in about 1995. I had been translating for the brethren, study translation. Some of you have been with us a long time, might have it. We had columns about this wide, right down the middle, wide margins on each side, so you could take all kinds of notes. And we started out with James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Then we had need for the Harmony of the Gospels to be reprinted. So then I did Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so then gradually it evolved that way. And then we finally did the New Testament in its original order. And those of you who have that, you still have it. Now then, Michael Heiss came on board, and he's an expert in the Hebrew language because he's a Jew. He has studied at a Judaica University and the Hebrew Union College. He knows the Hebrew, and he is the one who did the Old Testament. Now then, we have published the whole Bible in several editions so far. We had two printings of the New Testament in the original order. And since then, we have had the first publishing of the whole Bible. That was lambskin. And then we had the second edition, which was some lambskin. And then we had the special second edition, which is the one we have now. That is the calfskin. Now then, in translating, the whole purpose of translating was here. He who has my word, let him speak it, or translate it, faithfully to what the actual inspired Greek and the actual inspired Hebrew is. And God preserved that for us, so that in the latter days it says, you will perfectly understand. Now, we have probably, including the New Testament, that we sent out originally, and with the first two editions that we have had with the Bible, we have probably sent out over 50,000 Bibles down through the years. Now, looking at the financial situation the way it is here in America, with all the debt, all the experts are saying the day of a crash is coming. And we see it with the inflation that's taking place now. And since Biden has come in, it's approaching 19 to 20% inflation in real terms. That means everybody has taken a 19% cut in the value of their dollars or holding. Now, in China, where we had these Bibles printed, they're having economic problems in China. The yuan is very weak. There's a lot of bankruptcy on major scale going on in China. Now, with the war in the Middle East and Ukraine and possible war in Taiwan, we're sitting here thinking, what are we going to do if it comes to the point that there is no trade with China? Well, it would cost us 2.5 times more to do it in America. So, what I've done, I have ordered, reprinted the second edition, second printing. And here is the paper version. We've had 2,000 printed. Now, they'll be coming here pretty quickly. Then we have, instead of the calf scan, we have a very fine vinyl for the Bible here, and it's in the same box. The Holy Bible in its original order, a faithful version. Now, I'll mention in a different time that there were three major places that we made some changes in the translation, but I will explain those later. We've had 4,000 of these printed. And guess what? They are all paid for. So they will be coming later this month here. Now, in addition to that, from China, we ship to all of our overseas offices, except Canada, because we'll do it here, several boxes of these. Then there's one other publication that we had done, which we have been working on for 7 years. And this one is the biggest, the heaviest, and the thickest book we have published. But this is very important. And it is, here's the box it comes in, Greek, English, New Testament, interlinear. The George Ricker Berry, reset in the original order, and on the margins on the side, the faithful version. Now, I don't have a completed copy with me, but they sent a copy for approval for them to print and to bind. And here it is. It has the vinyl and the gold stamping right here. This is an important one to have. This is not only for church members, but one that we can have for the general public, because it will give everyone who has at least a working knowledge of the Greek the opportunity to see the Greek. And most of the interlinears are hard to use or hard to read. This one is easy to read. It is according to the received text. In studying the Greek, I've checked these out with different translations, with different Greek manuscripts, and please note this. Every place that a change was made in these other renditions, it's noted. Just like any changes in the Old Testament concerning the word Yahweh, or the word Lord. All 134 places where they changed Lord to Adonai have been noted. That's all corrected in the Old Testament. Now then, we're also sending to Kenya. through Terry Bruins, who has the Great Commission of God Church up in Wisconsin. He is in contact with all of the ex-Churches of God in Kenya. And the American Churches of God are letting them go. So, what I decided to do for them, because there is a minister over there, which is Joseph Omalo, and he will be in contact with all of the other Churches of God. So we're sending them 800 of the new printed Bibles, and we're sending 1,000 of the paperback. That way, that will help them. They need that more than anything else. And since they're all paid for, they don't have to send us anything. Now, here in America, when they come, we needed a place to put them because our storage is not sufficient to have enough room for them. So we prayed about it, and we looked at everything, and Terry, who worked for us, her husband Max, knows the owner of Bertuccio's ranch. And guess what they have? A whole warehouse, metal, big, lots of room, and nothing in it. So when the Bibles come, which will be toward the end of November, that's where we will store them. But this is important. Now, what we're going to do is this. We want as many of the brethren, and I'll announce this in a letter going out as well. We can send you these Bibles, and they come in a box of 8 or 6, depending on which version we have. And you can use them to give to any other church member in any other church free. They're paid for. Now, is that not spreading the gospel? Is that not giving them more than what their own church has done for them in taking their tithes and offerings? So you can order a minimum of 4, or 2 of you can order a box of 8, and you can give them free to any church member in any of the other churches of God. Or also for those who are deeply interested and you know that they will use them properly. I know that is a big task, but I also know that there is nothing better we can do for the different churches of God, correct? And what it will do, it will bring to their attention that we are not the demonic jerks that these various churches of God have palmed us off as being. We're faithful to the Word of God. We will stay faithful to it. We will speak it. We will print it. We will publish it. We will distribute it the way that God wants. Let's look at some things here concerning the inspiration of the Bible. And this was the founding thing that we needed to do. Let's look at some things, because this also comes in to what we need to do in preparing for the things in the future. 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter. Now here, this is quite a thing that Paul was writing, but this also falls in to what we are doing. Now, I want to make every preparation possible. Now, I don't know how long I'm going to live. Jonathan says he's praying that I'll live to be 100. Well, I don't know. That may be true. But however God wants me to live, and I have another woman says she's praying that I'll be 130. Well, I don't know. I don't know about that. But here's what needs to be done, and you are seeing this in motion and in action right now with all of the elders who are speaking. And I want you to pray for them. I want you to encourage them that they grow in grace and knowledge, that they increase in their speaking ability, because when I am gone, they will be the ones to carry on. And they all had better be deeply converted and not fighting as to who is going to do what. So here, Paul, when he's in prison, he's writing, he said the first chapter he was in Rome and no one was there. And he found out that all of those in Asia had abandoned him, chapter 1. Now, chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, my son Timothy, because Timothy was going to have to take over, and Timothy ended up working with the Apostle John and probably the Apostles Andrew and Mark and Luke in canonizing the whole New Testament. Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And that comes through prayer, that comes through study, that comes through working, that comes through living. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, these things commit to faithful men. Faithful. That's what all the elders have to be, right where we started back there in Jeremiah 23. Such as will be competent to teach others. Now, might mention here, at this point, we have more publications than any other church of God. We have 140 books, transcripts, and with the transcripts, with the CDs, now, I encourage every one of you to use the catalog that we have and begin to order periodically so many of the things that we have so that you will have personally everything in your possession printed. That means all the books. We got a lot of them. And all of these are to preach the truth of God, to help people to know who God is and where God is and how to find God and the history behind it and what is the right thing that God has. Faithful men, such as are competent to teach others. This is what it has to be. So I admonish all of the elders, make sure you're studying, you're praying, like Tom Fannin mentioned today, that you grow in grace and knowledge and understand the Word of God and realize what it says. I'll tell you this right now. Of all the years I've been studying the Bible and everything like that, I am still studying the Bible and learning things out of it because the Word of God is layered, 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 Old Testament and New Testament. Look at what we've just been recently covering in the book of Proverbs, how spiritual that the book of Proverbs is. So he says to Timothy, you therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Down here to verse 7, give careful attention to the things that I'm telling you, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. And that's what it has to be. No one can give you understanding except God. And no one can give you that understanding unless you believe God, obey God, and love God. That's how it comes. Because there are too many vain people out there thinking they're going to tell God what to do and where to go and how the prophecies are going to be fulfilled. And they are all missing the point because they don't keep the Sabbath, the Passover, and all the holy days of God. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from among the dead according to my gospel, of which I'm suffering hardship, even to the point of being imprisoned like a criminal, but the word of God has not been chained. That's why we're publishing these. Now, we will have a good number on hand because we don't know. What if all trade with China is cut off? That's why we got them now, because we don't know. They've cut off all good number of basic computer things, can't send them to China any longer. So it's starting. Now, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what doors God is going to open. but we must be prepared with everything that we need, with everything that God can provide. Because of this, I suffer all things, verse 10, for the sake of the elect, in order that they may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now, that's the whole purpose of it, that all of us make it into the kingdom of God. That's why, as I've covered here recently, we need to love one another. We need to help one another. We need to understand what we need to do. There's enough fighting and warring going on out in the world. Verse 13, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Which also tells us this, nothing that we think of on our own is going to change God. No one's going to tell God what to do. Remember what he said, Isaiah the 40th chapter, all the nations of the world are a drop in a bucket. So there's no room for vanity. Verse 14, see that they remain mindful of these things, earnestly charging them in the sight of the Lord, not to argue over words that are not profitable in any way, but that which lead to the subverting of those who hear. And that's what, it's always up against us. Verse 15, applies to all elders, but to every one of us. We are to learn the word of God that we are all skillful in understanding it. And here's how to do it. Verse 15, this is for all elders, but for everybody included. Diligently study to show yourself approved with God. A workman, that's what it is. It is a work who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, in the Greek, that means straightly cutting. And that's because many of the prophecies in the Old Testament are all kind of like scrambled eggs. And it takes wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the Spirit of God to understand it. Come over here to chapter 3. Let's see what kind of world we are living in and how important the Word of God is. Verse 13, but wicked men and impostors shall become worse and worse, deceiving others and being deceived themselves. And that is sure true, because right up here in the very first verse, it talks about in the last days, right? Do we not have that today? How many have searched the internet for all these religious things and all the people that are on there? And remember this. Those who believe the lies believe them with the same intensity that we believe the truth. So they think they're right, and they won't hear anybody else. That's why we need to be faithful to the Word of God, preserve the Word of God, produce the Word of God, preach the Word of God. Verse 14, but as for you, continue in the things that you have learned and assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from a child you have known the holy writings which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now here's the way we need to approach this. That's why we have done the Bible. That's why we have done the Greek interlinear. That's why we have all of the books and booklets and everything that we have. That's why we have the internet. That's why we have the Bible digitally on the internet. That's why we do church at home. That's why we have Christian Biblical Church of God. Verse 16, all scripture is God-breathed. That means God-spirited. and is profitable for doctrine, for conviction. And those things are important, and conviction comes from being grounded in the truth and knowing the truth, not thinking you know it, but knowing it because you prove it. For correction, and yes, we all need correction. I need correction. You need correction. How does it come? It comes from God's word, comes from God's spirit, comes from each other. That's called, in the book of Proverbs, iron sharpens iron. You've heard that expression before? Yes. For instruction in righteousness, that's how to live God's way in this world. So that what? The man of God or the woman of God may be complete. Another word for that is perfect. And what is the whole goal of the New Testament? That we be perfected for what? The first resurrection. Fully equipped for every good work. There are many other scriptures I can cover. I've got a whole bunch in my notes, but run out of time. So we'll have to say this will end it here exactly as we covered in the scriptures.